morning. I'm certainly happy to be coming your way once again, and I hope that you'll be blessed by the broadcast today. I have some scripture for you, and I want to say that it's certainly a pleasure to serve the Lord. Sometimes when people get older, others ask them, if you had it to do all over again, would you choose the way in life that you did? So if you should ask me, now I'm not really an old man yet. I maybe would chuckle a little bit on that. But at 60 years of age, I thought that is getting quite old. But my last birthday, I was 60. And this month of October, I will be 61. But back to the thought here that sometimes folks ask you, would you go the way that you did? Would you choose to be a preacher, or would you choose to serve the Lord? Well, let me tell you very definitely that I'm glad I chose to go the way of God. I'm glad that He saw fit and worthy to choose me to speak His word and to proclaim the truth. And it's certainly been a blessing the last 13 years that I've been permitted to send forth His truth over the broadcast and out to a lot of folks. I've heard from some, and I've received many, many returns and blessings from serving the Lord and being in this work of God. We're dependent upon Him and upon those who hear the broadcast and who read the mission trail to help us keep it on. And you know, so far, the Lord hasn't failed us yet. We're counting on Him to see us through. But let me say again that I'm glad that He chose me for this work of proclaiming the gospel. And may I pass along to you this scripture in the words of the apostle. When he said, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17 beginning, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Of course, now I've had the occasion to baptize many folks, and this is one of the things that I've stressed down through the years, that when people are saved, they ought to obey the Lord and be baptized. After all, that's what the scriptures say. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not the saving grace that baptism would make of itself, but it's obedience to the Word of God, and it's carrying out the ordinances of the New Testament, and so He intends for folks to obey Him. Therefore, I believe that one ought to believe, and I believe they ought to be baptized. Now, back to the scripture. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Just think of that. It just pleased the Lord to send forth His word and let some lowly prophet proclaim it. And then if you'd believe His word, you'd be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't take the wisdom out of the world to know the secret of salvation. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And so, my dear friends, it is not the wisdom that brings salvation. It is not the smartness and the learning that folks have that brings salvation. but it comes unto the meek and lowly who are willing to receive and accept it. It's a great secret in finding this salvation. It's blessed to know that a way has been opened whereby folks could be saved from their sins and their iniquities, and they'll not be held against them anymore. But so many fail to get this precious gift because it's offered free of all, but it's because they seek for it in a way that is not with the understanding that God gives. There's something about it that confounds the wise of this world. The great minds of the age cannot comprehend nor gainsay. Infidels and skeptics fail to reason away, and unbelievers of every description with all their unbelief cannot change it in the least. They cannot lessen its power nor overthrow its doctrine, because it comes from heaven and it was planned by an all-wise creator. How foolish it is for weak mortals of earth to undertake to reason away and overthrow the works and the plan of God. Men have spent months and years, yea, even their whole life, trying to overthrow and disprove the doctrine of salvation, and yet, before closing their eyes in death, many of them acknowledge their error and that salvation is a reality, and they confess that their doom was sealed for eternity because of their unbelief. Many a would-be skeptic has death stared him in the face in the last hours of life, and the closing scenes brought to view a glimpse of eternity, would have gladly given worldly possessions and everything dear on earth for a few hours more of life and a chance to meet the conditions required to obtain what had been rejected, despised, and oppressed. I opposed it and objected to it, and they wouldn't come. But alas, too late. They that sow to the wind must reap the whirlwind, and they who oppose the truth of God in this life until death overtakes them must abide his wrath in all eternity in the flames and torments of hell. Is that too strong? Many have tried to search out the deep things of God in their own strength, but have made a complete failure. Great masterly minds have spent years of reasoning, trying with their chain of logic to unravel the mysteries of the Word of God or to harmonize it with some freak of nature. But we read that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Oh, it's a difficult matter for these folks to find salvation when they don't have the understanding that comes from the Spirit of God. They do not learn the secret, therefore they fail to find the way. But again, you know, salvation is like this scripture describes it here in Job, the 28th chapter of Job. It said, surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. In other words, there is gold to be had, but there's a place for it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. Yes, great heat down in the depths of the earth. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. Oh, that's talking about the plan of salvation. Don't you see how that was pointed out, talking about how there's gold there in the hills and the sapphires, and there's iron there to be had. You've got to go where it is to find it. And then he said, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. That's the path of salvation. And those who are wicked and vulgar and evil, they don't find it. They may be ever so learned, but they fail to find it. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed over it. These people with lion nature, the little lions and the great lion that roars and scares and frightens and all that sort of thing. I know so much, they declare. But you know there's one thing they haven't found, and that's the way of salvation. It goes on here in Job 28. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He knows where every speck of gold is, where every diamond is located, and even the stars in the heavens. The Lord calls them by name. He knows the thousands of them, every one, and their orbit. He knows just how they're moving there in the heavens. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Now, all these wonderful things that God knows, how do we know them? How can we find them? Well, there are a lot of things that God knows we'll never understand. But there's one thing, dear friend, that you can know, and that is that you belong to God. You can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb and made whiter than snow. The secret of salvation is with them that fear Him. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. I'm glad today. Let me give you this last verse. Time is running out. Let me give you this last verse, the 28th verse of the 28th chapter of Job. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So if you really want to find the way of salvation, you fear the Lord. You depart from evil. And so the hidden treasures of the earth and of the secret of salvation, well, you may not find all the hidden treasures in this world, but you'll surely find a treasure that's worth more than all the world. Our Father, we thank you today for the privilege of bringing this message over the air. We ask you to bless every listener, wherever they may be, driving along the road, in their car, or at home, or in the hospital, or sick. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name, in the way which they need, and we'll give you the praise. Amen. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. If we've been a blessing, we'd be so happy to hear from you. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless and keep you always. This is Willie Murphy saying a very cheerful goodbye.